Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. I love this audience. I love this show and the opportunity we have to take the sword of the spirit, the truth, and thrust it into the belly of the dragon of lies. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I understand Obama ordered up a big meal for him and his buds and left without paying the tab. Funny. No, actually, I'm not creating a metaphor here. Really. I'm not saying he's run up the tab on our future generations, creating all sorts of spending programs with every intention of dumping the bill on our future. And I'm saying that he and his White House team went into a restaurant, ordered up a big meal at Kenny's Barbecue, I think it was, and then left without paying the tab. Hey, the fact that it's a perfect metaphor of what these libs are doing to the entire country isn't my fault, you know. Mary Bruce, writer of this article, posted on the ABC News, by the way, wrote, quote, amid the bustle of President Obama's surprise stop for barbecue Wednesday, the White House apparently overlooked one key detail, the bill, end quote. Is this great or what? Sometimes life truly is stranger than fiction. He overlooked one tiny little thing, the bill. But there are some other things they're overlooking these days. Here's an article by Pete Wynn, posted on CNS News. Quote, State Department purges religious freedom section from its human rights reports, end quote. The State Department creates a report on the status of human rights in various countries, actually all the countries of the world. And one of the criteria that is evaluated to ascertain their record on human rights has always been religious freedom. Under Obama, however, this has changed. Religious freedom is no longer included in their assessment. Now, what makes this particularly interesting is, well, what makes it interesting is Obama's increasing hostility, it's apparent to many, against those he referred to as those gun clingers and Bible clingers, you know. But this particular report covers the period called the Arab Spring. And Obama's administration wants that to be seen as the beginning of freedom in the Arab world. To his credit, of course. But this report will suggest otherwise. The first thing they did to keep the truth from the American people about the true character of the Arab countries involved in that so-called Arab Spring was to, apparently, it seems, to delay release of the report. I mean, it was released, quote, 3 months past the statutory deadline Congress set for the release of these reports, end quote. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. 3 months, that's nothing compared to how many years now that the Senate has defied constitutional law and refused to pass a budget. Has it been 3 years? Something like that. Also in direct defiance of the Constitution. And besides all that, Obama ignores the Congress, passing a de facto amnesty law, contrary to the laws of the land, without processing the law through the legislative branch. So all in all, I guess things are running pretty much according to the precedent set by Obama's administration. I guess they finally figured out what to do with this report. They simply replaced the section of the report that addresses the issue of religious freedom, and in that place refer us to some 2 or 3 year old documents instead. And for that part of the report, you know, the part that documents their record on religious freedom, they refer the reader to the 2011 and to the 2010 International Religious Freedom Report, or to the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, which covers 2010, but not the current one, interestingly enough. Nothing contemporary. Specifically, I should say, conspicuously omitting any assessment on this question during the period called the Arab Spring. And the reason seems to be either the State Department is beginning to move away from including this in their assessments, or because there was a political concern about this making Obama look bad, you know, because of his big support for the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt and other Arab countries. You tell me why Obama does not want to include religious freedom in a report on human rights. Do you have an explanation for that? In 1998, Congress created the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, that is the USCIRF, ostensibly to focus attention on this very important aspect of human rights. However, now it appears that might have been a maneuver to begin the process of separating this issue out of the State Department report on human rights. The State Department's legally required annual report always included an assessment of countries' record on religious freedom, but not anymore, according to Wynn. And we are wondering why. Why? Why would the State Department make a move to remove religious freedom from their annual report on human rights? Is religious liberty not a fundamental human right? Have all the countries of the world finally come around on this, and now this is universal acceptance among all the nations as a fundamental human right? As the Bible prophesies will happen, by the way, in the Middle East. A former U.S. diplomat, Thomas Farr, speculated it might be nothing more than a bureaucratic maneuver. But he said it is more likely that Obama is, quote, downplaying international religious freedom, end quote. Farr desired to emphasize that, of course, he has no direct knowledge of the rationale behind the move. But after serving under Clinton and Bush, he has observed that, quote, during the 3.5 years of the Obama administration, that the issue of religious freedom has been distinctly downplayed, end quote. He cites several examples of this. And in the current State Department report, nothing is said about the widespread murder of Christians in Egypt and throughout Africa and in the Arab Middle East that followed the Arab Spring Muslim revival. Nothing is said in the report about the murdered Christians in the aftermath of the Arab Spring. That was one key detail the Obama administration forgot. Yeah, like forgetting to pay his bill at Kenny's Barbecue. Although the official human rights report the Congress obliges the State Department to prepare every year forgot to mention it. In 2011, in Egypt, Coptic Christians were among 25 people massacred during a demonstration over an Islamist attack on a church. In the month of January 2012 alone, the Islamist group Boko Haram was responsible for 54 deaths in Nigeria, 42 of them Catholics killed at a church on Christmas Day. In 2011, Boko Haram killed more than 500 people and burned down or destroyed more than 350 churches in 10 northern states in Nigeria. Now, Obama's State Department is satisfied with the Arab idea of freedom of worship, but no freedom of religion. You see, the difference is this. You can draw the curtains of your house and pray in secret in some of these countries, quote, but don't take it outside your house, and certainly don't imbue other aspects of your life with your religious sentiments, end quote. In other words, you can't take it public. You see, folks, you have to understand real politic. Real politic is the Russian communist concept of, let's say, real world politics, as opposed to idealistic fantasy politics, you know, hardball, bare knuckles, real world politics, the kind of politics that says you must adjust to realities and work within realities. But I have noticed that in communist Russia, for example, the realities are always defined by them. They're always understood in a way that favored doing what served the party, not what served the interests of the Russian people. It didn't take into consideration the reality of the life of the Russian people, but only the realities of the interests of the party. The realities that shaped their politics were always what really benefited the party. Obama does not want his efforts to make nice with the Arab countries to be hampered by squabbling about religious freedom. Come on. Religious freedom is a hot-button issue in these countries. They are very sensitive to the notion and very resistant to it. And so, in real politic, It must be understood that we can't get anything going in terms of cooperation with these Muslim countries if we keep harping on them about religious freedom, hey? And therefore, religious freedom gets downplayed. It gets removed from the criteria used to measure human rights in these countries because it offends them and creates barriers to advancing our efforts to gain their cooperation and say, well, let's say fighting terrorism. What a joke. That's a laugh, you know, because the entire war against terrorism is a war against a people whose purpose for terrorism is to advance their oppressive religious agenda throughout the world. But that's the way it works, you see. Abortion, the homosexual agenda, well, these are issues that Republicans just don't want getting in their way when they're trying to attain certain objectives for the party. In real politic, it is necessary to downplay these issues. Issues like religious freedom, the inalienable right to life of a human being in the womb, the preservation of the family as God the Creator designed it, where the man and the woman join together for life and rear healthy, well-adjusted children. You see, in real, they define their policies according to their view of reality. Now, let's see, folks. I looks like I'm going to need to take a break, but think about this. Obama finds that the religious freedom issues complicates his efforts to gain cooperation from the Arab countries on other human rights issues. So the human right of religious liberty gets shoved off the table. Of course, this means that so far as Obama is concerned, that is an expendable right. He wouldn't treat other human rights that way, would he? So real politic is politics based on a reality they define. The same thing is true among our real politic Republicans. The issue of the inalienable right to life of the human from conception is an expendable issue. They can tolerate the loss of that fundamental right, and with regard to marriage, they are willing to sacrifice our children on the altar of the homosexual agenda in order to keep that issue from interfering with what is their view and idea of reality. You see, and that is what is really important to them, because in the world of real politic, as they define it, it comes down to whether or not they can get power. And so you see, policies based on real politic depends entirely on how you define reality, doesn't it? I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Well, what do you think? Can homosexual parents provide the balanced nurturing necessary to rear well-rounded, adjusted, stable children? That's what we are told to believe. Of course, everything in you remaining of common sense tells you otherwise. I mean, we do live in a world in which humanity consists of male and female. Men and women, you know. Populate the planet. there's not a third gender. So does it not make sense to prepare children to live in a world denominated by male and female classes within the species? You know, don't you think that would be a good idea to have them grow up under the guidance and nurture of, well, both? Also, does it not seem to you obvious that if the Creator designed children to be conceived by the combination of the male and the female, that it was His intention that the male and female nurture these children to adulthood? The Bible says as much. Of course, every natural instinct in you, every semblance of common sense remaining in you, finds this to be natural and normal, and, well, a total no-duh. Until you start listening to the hype coming from the homosexual crowd. You know, all the studies done by lesbians and lesbian activists. Then you start getting confused. So now we have to conduct studies on whether or not it's best for children to be raised in the normal, natural, two-parent family. And of course, by normal, natural, I mean where a man and a woman get together and form a family. Quote, a pair of studies published in the journal Social Science Research turns the widely accepted notion that kids raised by parents in same-sex relationships grow up to become well-adjusted adults on its ear, end quote. Now, I want you to bear with me a little bit. I don't like to read long portions, but I do want to read through this. So follow along here. And I'm quoting or reading. According to data from the New Family Structures Study led by Mark Regenerous at the University of Texas at Austin, children raised by homosexual parents are dramatically more likely than peers raised by married heterosexual parents to suffer from a host of social problems. Among them are strong tendencies as adults to exhibit poor impulse control, suffer from depression and thoughts of suicide, need mental health therapy, identify themselves as homosexual, choose cohabitation, be unfaithful to partners, contract sexually transmitted diseases, be sexually molested, have lower income levels, drink to get drunk, and smoke tobacco and marijuana. The study of 2,988 people between the ages of 18, this is no small study here, my friends. The study of about 2,900 people between the ages of 18 and 39, including 175 adults raised by lesbian mothers and 73 raised by gay fathers, marks the second largest data sample ever used to examine the issue. The U.S. Census Bureau had a larger sample, but didn't probe as deeply as the 40 measures Regenerous used, said Glenn Stanton, Focus on the Family's Director of Global Family Formation Studies. In all, children raised by parents in same-sex relationships fared more poorly than their peers on 24 of those measures. All of the other studies that have come out on how kids do in same-sex homes are all done by lesbian activist scholars, said Stanton. They have found either there's no difference between the two kinds of homes or that the kids actually do better in homosexual households. Regenerous study shows nothing could be further from the truth. It compares not just homosexual and heterosexual homes, but married, intact, biological families, divorced, single-parent, and cohabiting families, he added. All the other studies have just lumped all of that together. In a second article published in the journal, Lauren Marks, an associate professor at Louisiana State University, examines the shortcomings of a seminal brief on gay parenting from the American Psychological Association, which states that, quote, not a single study has found children of lesbian or gay parents to be disadvantaged, end quote, compared to peers raised in intact households with married parents. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? This is the kind of research Americans need to take a hard look at in the context of the ongoing efforts to redefine marriage to include same-sex couples, said Focus on the Family President Jim Daly. And I thought he made an interesting observation. He points out scientific data doesn't hate. It can't be a bigot. While such words have been used against those of us who hold to a biblical view of God's design for human sexuality, the study is impartial, unemotional, and non-religious. It's not a soldier in the culture war, but research conducted at a prestigious university and published in a respected scientific journal. It reinforces a cultural truth on which public policy decisions on how marriage is defined ought to be based. Moms and dads matter. And the best environment in which to raise children is a household headed by their married mom and dad. Now, of course, that resonates with your common sense, doesn't it? Hopefully it'll unscramble your brain from all the nonsense they've pumped into it. from these fake studies and all this pro-homosexual hype. But here's something we find in Regenerist's study that is alarming. Quote, there is only one thing where gay homes did better. Their kids are more likely to vote, end quote. Happy Father's Day. I miss my dad. The smartest and most interesting man I've ever known. He loved life, let me tell you. He was interested in a great many things. He loved to fish. Deep sea fishing was his thing. Although he'd take us out on the lake and the river here, Colorado River, and all this, he loved to fly. I helped a little bit. I helped him build two or three of his flying machines and always helped him put around the garage on his boat and this machine he concocted that would make emeralds and rubies and things like this. I still have a treasure of his he created in his little laboratory. He made a ruby. And I was with him when he took it to a gymnologist who studied it with his glass. Of course, it was shaped in a way it was obviously not natural. You know, so Dad wasn't trying to pull anything on him. But the guy studied it and was just astounded. He said that in every way that he could determine, this was a ruby. And I said, well, of course. And he explained to him how he created it in his little laboratory. And he cherished that because he felt so good about, what a good job he had done with that. He gave that to me. I still have that. He made a bunch of flying machines, these little things called gyrocopters. He loved to fly. I never did. I flew in them, and I kind of played around with them a little bit. I just never took the interest in it that he did. But we would often go down to Desert Dry Lake and watch Dad fly his whirly bird, and afterwards lay on the desert floor there together in our sleeping bags and count falling stars. And he'd point out the various constellations and teach me how to find Orion, always reminding me that Orion figured prominently in the Bible and that he believed it was a doorway to heaven. He was one of a few, I forget how many, that were selected to work on the Apollo 11 spacecraft on a certain very sensitive welding project they had for that ship. And I remember how thoroughly excited he was and how we all sat together around the TV and watched the landing and how excited my dad was that he had an opportunity to put his hands in the work of creating that spaceship. And that was a big day for the Scheidbach family. I mean, this goes on and on. He got some kind of a citation for that. And anyway, met some of the astronauts there in his shop. They came down to see him. He invented a propeller that would change pitch when the throttle was suddenly shut down and then opened up full throttle again. He called it the pitch propeller. I spent a lot of hours with him out in the lake as he practiced, as he worked on that thing and did some tests on it and stuff like that. And I remember when he sold the rights to it, and that company came out with something called the variable pitch propeller. Maybe some of you know about that. I mean, I could go on and on and on. He was just a tremendous man. He loved to go rock hunting. We'd go up into Hemet and pick around the mountains up there looking for gold or looking for whatever we can find. He loved to find tourmaline, taught me how to identify it. We used to look for petrified wood and all this kind. Anyway, all these things. We traveled a lot with my dad and so on across the country. And we really, really love my dad. I appreciate him. Thank God for him. I know he's in heaven. He received Christ as his Savior. And I was able to be with him as he passed on into glory, raising his hands in worship. And we just had a great, great time together that day. I'll never forget it. Look forward to seeing my dad again in glory. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow for Father's Day celebration. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and say, lights on, if you see they're on. And you will ride like Rivera, spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with me. You agree with what I'm saying. Or you could call and say, lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying. You disagree with me. So call in 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. On a cell phone, you don't need the 1. For those who listen by podcast, God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Many of you have been calling more lately. I appreciate that. Keep it up. And you call in or write in. Most of my podcast audience will write me on email. Go to our webpage, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. And then you can select lights on and then send. Or lights off and send. Or you can write me as long a note as you like. But call me at 1-888-770-8000 or write me using email to write me at thebrainmassageshow.com on the Contact Us button. And remember, if you're in a hurry, just call me, say lights on, hang up, or lights off and hang up. But I'd love to hear from our audience. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Virtually every American tradition has been assaulted by the liberal elite, and the church is no exception. In the 50s, most families attended church. Now, according to church records, only 20% attend. Many things have contributed to this decline. In the spirit of the 60s, the, quote, organized church was despised. And very soon, the word church became unpopular. Some dropped the word from their name because they believe it should not be used to identify a building. But many just wanted to be hip, so they change with whatever tide comes in. We think those who've turned away from the word church have made a mistake. It's a good word, and it's perfectly appropriate to use it to identify the people of the Lord and, by extension, the place where they assemble. Now, you can do what you want, but we're going to stick with that good old-fashioned word. It is the word used in the Bible to identify Jesus' congregation, and it's the word you're going to see in our name. We are the Lighthouse Baptist Church at 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the Lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information. The word church is a translation of the Greek word Jesus used for his congregation. That Greek word means called out ones. It was used for any official assembly. Church is a Middle English word that means belonging to the Lord. By the time our Bible was translated, it was used to identify the people who belonged to the Lord and the place where they assembled. We find this word in our Bible, and so you will see it in our name, the Lighthouse Baptist Church, on Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.